And I share very much the contributions that have been made from the floor. What is evident is a call for a much more serious, much more robust, much more fuller and comprehensive implementation strategy with regards to the Durban Declaration, particularly as you approach its 20th anniversary. I think what's important is that we need to engage in these interventions at the local, national, domestic level, but also, of course, at regional and international levels as well. And I believe that that is the role that the United Nations and the Working Group can play in creating a broad global solidarity front to be able to tackle the problems of racism that have been identified. The major difficulty that's already been pointed out is that many of the right-wing movements which are generating these forms of racial polarization and racial propaganda are increasingly making their way into the seat of government power in historically powerful or historically dominant nations in the Euro-Atlantic West, which is presenting dilemmas that are very difficult. You may have seen, for example, that to use the example of the United States, that the teaching of critical race theory has been banned, or at least has been defunded by the federal government. The federal government will no longer support, for example, initiatives such as cultural bias training, discussions about racial privilege and racial power, because these discourses are considered anti the nation or anti-American. It is these kinds of trends which present for us very serious challenges which cannot be resolved at a local level, but which will require, as I've mentioned, an international or global solidarity front to ensure that the question of race, racial justice, racial equality, the ending of racial discrimination continues to be core on the agenda. And hence why I have really two points of response to the questions that have been posed to me, but also to some of the issues in discussion, especially those raised by the last two speakers. Clearly, we can no longer only expect the struggle against racism to be carried out by states or by those in political power, since, as we have seen, many people are using and stoking racial divisions in order to gain political power. Therefore, we need to more importantly empower civil society. We need to empower movements for racial justice, and we need to empower independent researchers in the area of race and racism to provide us with the knowledge, the frameworks, the praxis to begin to roll out both programs of racial awareness, but also to be able to challenge state and non-state institutions to take the question of racism much more seriously, to ensure that there is a social cost for racism, by which I mean that the consequences for racism ought to be well known, well publicized, and with the support of the larger society, which can only be possible if we, as I have recommended, develop a program for critical race literacy that can find its way in schools, but also find its way in the broader public. And we need to find a way to financially and politically support attempts to address racial inequality in different societies. Linking race to socioeconomic inequality is, as many people know, indispensable. We will not be able to address the challenges that racism poses in our society if we still have large amounts of people without land, without the material resources to live a dignified life, and without basic socioeconomic welfare, housing, healthcare, water, sanitation, and efficient and clean transportation. This is very important because it's the major lesson we have learned in the pandemic, that we have to think about race and socioeconomic justice at the same time. Now, I believe that some of the key areas that we need to be looking at when we're looking at socioeconomic welfare, racial minorities, is one, the issue of land rights. I believe that indigenous communities, but also racial minority communities, have been raising this question of land, access to land,
access to farming land, access to agricultural land, but also access to residential land for property purposes is one of the key routes out of poverty. And so we need to think about how to address questions of racial inequality while also addressing questions of land rights, access to land, use of land. We need to address questions of basic minimum welfare, which is a point I've been making on a number of occasions. We need to make sure that we push the reforms and changes in our societies to such an extent that we are able to have a basic or minimum core set of entitlements that all people have towards, as I've said, water, sanitation, housing, clean transportation. These are the basics for a dignified life. These are the basics for cohesive democracy. And these are the basis for all human beings to be able to flourish and to have their rights as human beings recognized. And so it becomes very crucial to ensure this. Two other things we need to look at. We need to ensure that societies where there's a history of racism, history of racial atrocity, history of racial discrimination, histories of genocide, histories of slavery, have robust frameworks for redress and redistribution, wealth redistribution, not only affirmative action, which has been an important way of shifting the levers of power, even if only slightly, but also looking at how to redistribute material power and material resources to the communities that need it the most as a way of repairing the injustices of the past. So I'm talking here the need for a global framework on reparations as part of social justice. Finally, Chair, there are attempts to experiment with wealth taxes. We need to look at our tax system and the ways in which it can be used to further greater and greater socioeconomic inequality between racial groups and further socioeconomic inequality between men and women as part of a comprehensive attempt to ensure that racial justice and socioeconomic justice always go hand in hand in our strategies to fight against racism. But I think what is clear, Chair, is we also need a stronger language. We need to make sure that we raise the question of white supremacy, that we are seeing an unacceptable threat to democracy in the form of white supremacist hate groups. We are seeing a slow pace in addressing long-standing racial inequalities in different societies. And we need to have a robust framework, I would say, a comprehensive and robust framework to tackle these questions in a much more direct and much more serious manner fully than we have been doing over the past two decades. Thank you.